welcome to The Squeal, PIC's swine management podcast, featuring in-depth conversations on topics that matter to you. PIC is the global leader in swine genetics. At PIC, our goal is to make our customers the most successful pig producers by providing them with the best genetics. We know our business success depends on yours. This recruitment series is shifting to onboarding discussions today. Again, our panel consists of Seaboard Foods' Kay Stinson, PIC's Ashley Hinken, and Neil Piskewich of Wakefield Pork.
My name is Kay Stinson. I'm the Vice President of Human Resources and Animal Care for Seaboard Foods.
My name is Ashley Hinken. I've been with PIC Canada, predominantly focused on human resources.
I'm Neil Piskewich. I work with Wakefield Pork out of Gaylord, Minnesota. I am currently the head of training and development.
Talk to me about your onboarding program, meaning what's key to it? How has it changed in the last decade?
Well, I would say how it's changed is the experience level of the individuals we bring in now is completely different. Majority have no experience, never been on a farm before. So you really have to have patience. I think people that have been around in the industry expect people to just jump onto things, feel comfortable about what's going on, and get the job done. That's not the case today. I mean, the simplest thing of showering into the unit can be a huge hurdle for people to overcome, you know, and it might take a week or two before they're really actually comfortable about that. I would say the biggest thing is you have to be prepared when that employee comes in to know kind of a little bit about them through the interview process, but to understand what your plan is for that employee for the next several weeks, so that you can sit down on day one and really have that conversation so then to put the employee at ease, but just so they know what to expect. Know that they're not going to be expected to be working at the same pace as the guy who's been here for 10 years, that it's going to take time to learn and to have kind of a well thought out plan. You know, we use documentation as follow up, you know, and it's really just a more of a checklist for the farm managers to make sure we cover, you know, the things that we feel are important. The safety, the biosecurity obviously has to get done, but just who's going to train the individual, who's going to be their mentor, and being patient and long enough to let that blossom and grow, I guess.
And when you say patience, that makes me think you probably have specific individuals, you know, in the barns that are in the position that you would prefer to have on board because of that, because they're a little gentler in those first days. Not because there's anything wrong with the potential employee or employee, but because they just have no knowledge of that segment.
Correct. We have what we call rookie gurus. And there are people that we assign to the new individual on a farm. They may not be doing the production training with that individual. They may not be the best breeder, the best farrower, but they're kind of the socialite of the farm. Gets along with everybody, kind of knows everybody really well, is good at making people feel comfortable, you know, so they can help the person get settled with, you know, here's your cabinet, here's your clothes, here's your, though, you know, this, you know, hey, don't worry about that guy. He's, you know, he might say some things that are a little off at times, but he doesn't mean anything by it. You know, just to have somebody there in their hip pocket to kind of help them through that transition the first few weeks.
Yeah, and honestly, if you're older, you're more likely to say things that you really don't mean, but it comes off a little. I find that
correct.
Pretty regularly.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. In office, not in the barn, but you've got a day, you've got a couple of days. What's that first 2 or 3 day period look like?
Most of the first day is the office. You know, we focus that first day on the safety and biosecurity of it. So we have a safety protocol. You know, we're giving them a tour of the barn, identifying where the safety exits are, you know, location of PPE, all that stuff. We do some animal handling videos. We do a safety quiz. We have a safety officer and a biosecurity officer on each farm. So they kind of take the responsibility of walking through that with the new individual. And the biosecurity, all of our sites are filtered. So it's kind of a lengthy process to kind of explain to that new individual who's never experienced a hog farm, let alone a filtered facility, to kind of go through all the rules and regulations we have there too. So the first day is a lot of information. And from there, we just kind of break it down. We assign a trainer to them and we just take it slow.
So they're in the field in a week, 3 days.
Yeah. Typically by the second or third day, they're shadowing somebody. They're not physically responsible for that job, but they're starting to see kind of how that operation works.
Very good. So, Kay, tell me about Seaboard. What's that look like?
So our onboarding in before they ever get to the farm would be, it's generally a day or two in the office going through much of the safety training, animal handling videos, some of the same things that Neil just mentioned. All our programs are set up through a learning management system called Alchemy. So it allows for us to share videos and then, you know, do some check-in quizzing, track responses, et cetera. So there's that piece of content that we found works better to do before we take them to the part of the operations that they're going to be working in. The other piece that's really important to us from an onboarding, you know, a lot of people aren't paying attention to the benefits, but helping them understand what the company is providing is important and spending time doing that. We're also trying to make sure that we have them signed up on our employee communication app so that as they want updates, if they want to be a part of learning what's going on in our business, they can pretty easily access that through a mobile device, as well as, you know, trying to make sure they understand the value of us having a accurate phone number for them. We're going to use a texting software that can alert them if there are changes in weather or open enrollment, or, you know, a lot of times we'll put out messages and help the school system out, you know, hey, it's parent teacher conference. We're going to offer these, you know, on site or this location or flu shots, things like that. Just really trying to help them understand. We're not trying to get into your personal space, but if we have the ability to interact with you and vice versa, we can maybe help work through some things or help educate you and engage with you along the way. So that's really what that first day to 2 days is for the employee. And then once they go to the location that they're working in, which oftentimes is a farm site, they're going to have standard operating procedures. And much of what Neil said, it's the same thing. It's integrating people into that farm team and, you know, making sure they feel included. We all eat lunch together. It's, I mean, some things have changed since COVID, but really helping them understand what happens then at the farm site, who they need to call if they're going to be late, if they can't show up, who they're going to job shadow, and then, you know, where all of our standard operating procedures are, you know, coming from, that it's, you know, hey, there's a basic process for how we do things and here's what it is.
Tell me about PIC, Ashley. Same question.
Yeah. So very similar to what Kay and Neil both said, a lot of the same processes when it comes to the health and safety pieces, the biosecurity. That first day is really a lot of that mandatory paperwork, a lot of that training to get them equipped so that they're ready to go into the farm. Something we've been really focusing on is what we're calling the pre-boarding. So making sure that something as simple as, hey, their cubby with the clothes that they're going to need first day is set up for them. We have that designated, we call it a training buddy. So, you know, making sure that that's set up in advance so that once they actually get into the farm after that first day, they're set up accordingly. What we do is 30, 60, and 90 day check-ins with our HR team with the new hire, just to see how things are going, you know, ask how their onboarding experience has been so that we can take that feedback to be able to revamp our program as well. We really focus on close one-to-one touch points with our new hires. So, you know, at the end of each week, making sure that that person's direct supervisor, as well as their training buddy, because they could be different, that they're having those close touch points with them. But I would say overall, from an industry perspective, the health and safety piece and the biosecurity piece are so crucial to make sure that, you know, a lot of those things are talked about, how to safely move animals and, you know, how to enter the farm properly, things like that. So, you know, a lot of commonalities there. And then earlier you had a question of what was maybe done 20 years ago versus what's done now. We really want to move away from the, hey, you're coming in and you're going to pressure wash for the first week to, hey, we're going to teach you and we're going to actually get you to know the flow of the farm and really be able to do a lot of those hands-on production tasks and making it achievable, right? So saying within your first 90 days, these are the basic competencies that you should be able to achieve. So we have a competency checklist that also goes hand in hand with our onboarding documents so that the new hire can see, hey, within 30 days, I should be able to do XYZ. And then we graduate them into those advanced skills after those 90 days. For us, it's also a great opportunity to learn, hey, if somebody is already going into the advanced skills after 60 days, this is a high potential employee and somebody that we can really tap into to continue to grow and develop them for their career in the swine industry.
How do you slot them into the right seat on the bus? Is that a result of their test? Is that a result of the conversation you have with them? Is it a result of your needs?
I think it's a mix, to be honest. For us, first, we need to focus on what are our needs? Where do we need people to be? From our workforce planner, are the current employees in the right slots? Asking that question first, and then going out to be able to recruit. So if it's somebody for your breeding department, let's really focus in and be able to post positions so that people understand this is where we're looking for employees. It takes time though. Sometimes you might have somebody come in working in breeding that maybe they're better off in finishing, for example. And it's just kind of a fluid process where having those close touch points and getting to understand your staff very well is going to help you understand if people are in the right seats. I don't know if there's any real proven method, but for us, sometimes it's that trial and error in finding where people fit.
Okay.
I agree with many of the things Ashley said. I think it depends on what jobs we're trying to fill. So if we're talking about hourly production entry-level jobs that we're not asking for a certain skill set, are these mid-level positions? Are they specialized individual contributors? What level of technology is being asked of, et cetera? And so part of it is making sure that we've really defined, first and foremost, what are we looking for? What are we trying to do here so that everybody doesn't have to go through a one-size-fits-all? I think the second thing is, too, we tend to, I'll speak for Seaboard, I won't speak for the industry, but we can oftentimes not be very creative or open-minded to, nope, you've got to come in. Everybody's got to learn how to do every job on the farm. And that's certainly what's best for us from a management standpoint, because you have everybody that's cross-trained to know how to do everything. But there are jobs within farms that some people would prefer to do the same work every day. I know, I mean, those of us that don't prefer to do that kind of work, it's sometimes hard to appreciate, well, why would you want to do the same thing every day? But I think it's understanding what's important to people or what causes or gives them anxiety. You know, hey, I don't want to work in this particular area. It might just because of one task that they don't enjoy doing. And I think we've got to be able to figure that out and go, okay, well, I get it. Euthanizing animals is not something anybody likes doing. And it shouldn't be it shouldn't be posed as, hey, it's kind of a punishment, so everybody has to kind of do it. You know, can we be open-minded and go, there's like this one thing that you don't want to do? Okay, let's see how we can work through that. To me, it's a little bit the same approach with looking at flex scheduling or whatever. But I do think that's how we have to determine if it's the right seat on the bus or it's just the right jobs for the right person. And you know, again, our demographics, we're hiring a lot more people between the ages of 18 to 25, because those are the people that aren't in the labor force participation rate already. Regardless of what unemployment says, that's a group of people that aren't already working for obvious reasons, right? They're in school, they're trying to figure out what they want to do. And so young people like that, not only do they usually not know what they want to do or crystal clear on it, two, there's something about repetition and doing, you know, fewer jobs, but doing them repetitiously for a period of time that can also be part of that training and onboarding. And I realize that creates, you know, there's certain limitations based on size of farms or where they're at or type of work. But it is kind of interesting if we step back and say, hey, what does this person really enjoy doing or not doing? If we eliminate that one not thing, that one negative thing, does it open the doors to more people? Because they talk outside of work too, right? So that one negative job becomes the reason why you don't want to go work for so-and-so, right? So I think that we've tried, we've still got a lot of room for improvement, but we've tried to really identify and group jobs together a little bit. We never seem to have a problem filling jobs working in the nursery. We're always fully staffed. The turnover is very low, right? But other locations, you know, those become more challenging. And so our system is big enough that that's one of the things that we try to use to our advantage is understanding where and what job specific kinds of things that we can, you know, have some flexibility on.
Very good. Neil, what's your experience? How do you get them into the right place at the right time?
Well, I think it starts with the initial interview that our HR people do. You know, we kind of try to place that person's personality with a specific farm. We kind of know what the pulse of that farm is, kind of how that individual might fit with that farm. And as our farm managers do on-site tours with candidates, try to see what excites them, kind of see what their personality is, kind of see how they'd fit in with the mix and, you know, the breeding department, or how would they fit with the farrowing crew, and try to make our best guess on where they're going to land. But I would say flexibility, like Kay was talking about, is kind of the biggest thing. That you might peg somebody for farrowing, and 2 months in, you just realize they don't have the passion for it. They'd much rather be out on the breed row or doing something else, instead of just trying to force a square peg into a round hole, being open to making that adjustment on the fly and getting that person where they're more comfortable.
Our guest on part two of our recruitment series are Ashley Henken, Kay Stinson, and Neil Paskewicz. Whether you're tuning in for the first time or you're a longtime listener, take a second to subscribe to The Squeal. It's the easiest way to stay up to date with the latest podcast episodes. Just search for The Squeal wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're already a subscriber, visit your phone settings and turn notifications on so you'll never miss an episode. For PIC, the international leader of continuous genetic improvement in swine breeding stock and in world-class technical support to the global pork supply chain, I'm Ned Arthur. Thanks for joining us.